everybody. So, Baruch Hashem, the snow did not materialize, but we didn't have a share last week. Anyway, apropos of absolutely nothing at all, I just want to tell you that there's a very, very interesting sefer or book they put out about Rav Chaim Kanevsky's Hanhagas. I don't know if you saw it, a lot of pictures. But it actually goes from the beginning of the Shulchan Aruch like to the end, like how he does pigeon petra chamor. He loves to do reishis ages, like all these different things. But I just want to tell you two interesting things. One is an interesting psak halach, and the other is I think a very, very nice maisa. The nice maisa is that a father brought a son, like a bar mitzvah boy, to Rav Chaim to he finished a mesechta, he finished Megillah, and he asked Rav Chaim to give him a bechina. Rav Chaim gives very easy bechinas, by the way. It's not like he gives very, very easy bechinas. So Rav Chaim asked the boy, he says, about what is the origin of final letters. Right? The Gemara says, Menatzbach Seifim Amen. So the boy didn't know. So Rav Chaim said, I'm sorry, it's my mistake, as I forgot. It's not a Gemara in Megillah, it's a Gemara in Shabbos. The Gemara talks about Menatzbach and Shabbos. And Rav Chaim, not to be revised, said, it's my mistake. Nisbabalti, he says, I got mixed up. He says, that's a very, very nice thing to say. They tell the same Meiser with Rav Chaim Meiser, that Rav Chaim Meiser was once speaking and learning with people, and he mentioned a Taisus on a certain daf. And one of the people was an Eloi, and later he became a foursome for his Bekiyas. And he just, chutzpah, just said, no, it's two dafim somewhere else. And Rav Chaim Meiser said, you're right, my memory is not so good. And of course they checked afterwards, and the guy was wrong, and Rav Chaim Meiser was right, but okay. The other psak halacha that I thought was mamish, very, very interesting, is that apparently, I don't remember this, but apparently he had a sister, the stipler had a sister who was... I had a daughter who was nicteris.
Burma.
Oh, okay. I know he had a son-in-law, but Barzim was nicter, and Berman...
Barzim, maybe that was...
So Barzim was the son-in-law who was nicter, but apparently there was a sister who was nicter. Yeah. So the mice went... That an Avel does not... Okay, an Einain does not put on tefillin, that's for sure, but even Yom Rishon of Avelus... One does not wear tefillin. Nobel does not wear tefillin on Yom Rishon. There's a machlekes if it's not the Yom Hamisa. So an Avil puts on tefillin without a bracha. But if it's the Yom Hamisa Kavura, the halacha is that an Einan does not put on tefillin on Yom Rishon. So he put on tefillin on Yom Sheni, but apparently there are shitas that are machmir, that an Avil does not put on tefillin on Yom Sheni till after Nates. So he davened, since he davened Vasikin every day, he davened without tefillin to be Mekayim Vasikin, and then he put on tefillin after night. So that's a very big chiddush, actually. I'm not sure if that's such a pasha to think. Because he held that the inyan of davening Kavasikin, now it is brought down, Mr. Brewer brings down, that if you're rugged to daven Kavasikin, that is Deichet Tefillah B'tzibur. So if I'm in a place, if I daven Vasikin every day and there's no minyan, I should daven b'yachidus. That is brought down. But to say that it's daichet tefillin, that's a big chiddush, especially if we say, kalakari kriya shambalai tefillin, keilu, meyed eidah sheker b'yatzvah. But he held, that Rav Chaim held, that vasikin is even daichet tefillin. So if you're not going to get your tefillin until later, or in this case, if he held you don't wear tefillin yet, but it would be the same thing if he didn't have tefillin. He held you daven kevasikin. That's a shtickle chiddush. Another thing that I saw was a chiddush, but it's not his chiddush. But I wasn't aware of this. He brought down from the Sefer HaAgur that if a person doesn't have a bris because of mesu echav machmas mila, he has to wear tefillin on Shabbos. Because, wow. he says, normally you have two edim that are made on a kiddush baruch. I have mila and I have tefillin, and since Shabbos is an ois. So I already have Mila and Shabbos. So he who doesn't have Mila, the Sefer Ogur says, you wear tefillin.
Can you ask him like that?
I don't know. I don't think Mr. Rory even brings such a sheet. But that's what he said. He said
so the Mishnah Darim says that Klai Yisrael a year.
They're called Mulin. Yeah, but you can't call it an Eidus. You can't call it an Eidus. Mm-hmm. Now the only question you could ask is, so should a Mechal Shabbos where it's filling? Then he's going to ask. You know.
It is El Shabbos is putting on filling.
Yeah, it's okay. Right. Okay. All right. So that was just anyway. It's a very very nice safer. A lot of different.
The other thing is that if you don't have a minion, you should rather have a Zigan.
If what?
If you don't have a minion, in a place there's no minion, you should rather have a Zigan.
For sure.
Mm-hmm. That, even though he's not ruggled, have a Zigan.
Why not? I mean, every time you can do it, it's a good thing. Now, to be daiches v'lo b'tzibur is only if that's your min hakavua. But if you don't have a minion, for sure there's minion of being mishtadl. Every time you do v'asikin, you're mekayim chashuv v'inyan. Okay.
All right. I have a brother who always sounds v'asikin on Shabbos.
Yeah.
After the weekend, he got upset to be daiches v'lo b'tzibur when he's not around the minion.
On Shabbos?
Yeah.
Even on Shabbos?
Yeah, on Shabbos, he says he's able to see where he doesn't do it during the week.
And he still was given the, he was still given a heter. That's interesting. But he goes back for Kriya Satira, I mean.
Yeah, he does.
Although there are Shitas, you know, there are Shitas that say, Ramban, I mean, that Kriya Satira is a Chayvas Sibur, that Bechal, you're not even Mechayiv to your Kriya Satira. In other words, if there's a minion, they're mechuyev to lane. There's no chiyev for you to. That's not our minhag, but they say there was no chiyev to go to a minyan to your kriyas etc. Okay. Anyway, I just wanted to finish up a little bit about stam yena and to be marich. Yet I don't remember. I may have misspoken about which shita said which. So I just want to go over the last nekuda about nitzuk being a chibur, because this is nogea lemaisa. Meikir hadin. There are different ways that yayin becomes nesar, either by a goy, or if you hold a mechal Shabbos, you know, whatever the shitas would be. There is maga yayin. Now maga yayin literally means his finger touches the wine, not the bottle. Touches the wine. That's maga yayin. And hu hadin maga peh. You know, that's negia. And then there is also what's called kaychai. Kaychai is if through his kayach he poured it. Okay, so it's important to understand that mi'ikir hadin, simply touching a bottle, even an open bottle, does not directly aser yayin. It is either negia, maga, or kocho. Right, these are the two categories. Now, obviously, if it's an open bottle, then you weren't in the room for shteizach, you have to ask for the wine because maybe there was maga, maybe there was kocho. But if you saw, if I'm sitting with a guy, mamish, and it's not mavushel. Mavushel is right. If it's not mavushel, it only gets ushered by maga or kocho. So the shaila of nitzuk is this shaila: if a guy or mechal Shabbos, you know, if you hold that it's usher, pours the wine, so the wine that left the bottle for sure is usher else kaychay. But the wine that left the bottle is mechubar. It is connected through a flow to the wine in the bottle. So whether or not the wine in the bottle is going to be usur is a shaila of whether the nitzuk, a movable flow, right, a moving flow, is that a chibur. And that's nageya many, many years. Nageya some of a tire even. Lamashal, if I'm pouring liquid, any liquid, and the sheretz touches what's in this cup, do I say that the nitzuk is mechaber? So it's nogea tum of a taira. It's nogea many, many in yonim. So what is the halacha of nitzuk by yayin esu? So again, I may have misspoken, I don't remember. The mechaber actually is machmer. The mechaber says...
So it's pouring what into what?
Huh?
Just what's the case?
A goy pours wine. So what is the status of the wine in the bottle? The wine that comes out of the bottle is usher because of kocho. He poured it. He moved it.
The wine in the bottle is also moved, isn't it?
It didn't leave the bottle, so that's not considered to be. That's not called kocho. Kocho is what is nimshach from its source. So the wine that leaves the bottle is nesar al kocho. So the question is, what is the status of the remaining wine in the bottle? So the Mechaber paskins, Nitzuk is a Chibur. Yeah, I may have misspoke. If nitzuk is a chibur, the mechaber paskins may ikir hadin, the wine in the bottle is nasar, even though the goy did not touch that wine, nor is it called kocho, because nitzuk is a chibur, and it's labdafka by yayin nesach, even by stam yenim. Now, the Ramah brings yesh aimrim. That by kocho we paskin nitzuk is not a chibur, and the Ramah says, but it's nachain to be machmir unless it is called a hefsid meruba. Okay, so that's a machlokes, the mechaber and the Ramah, which means the tzad hashava is that if it's not a hefsid meruba, we will be machmir on the nitzuk, right? So again, and the Ramah himself says in the Teiris Chatas, the Hakdama to the Teiris Chatas, that when something is mutter behefsid meruba, that actually means, again, it's an important yisayt of the Ramah, it's very mistavra, it's not the pshat, the din is that it's usher, but we're mako for hefsid meruba. It's the other way around. If there's a heter called hefsid meruba, that means may eker hadin it's mutter, but it's better to be chayshesh for the machmirim if it's not a major financial loss. In fact, it's interesting. Rav Zevin, Rav Shlomo Yosef Zevin, you heard of Rav Zevin? Rav Zevin was a Adam Gadol Ma'ayit, truly an Adam Gadol Ma'ayit. He was somebody who, he's written many kind of svarim from Yishim Vashitas, Mayadam Bahalacha, but he was a very interesting person. His Shirish was Chabad, he was actually a Rav in Russia. He was a Mizrahi person, involved in, he was a Zionist, but he was close to the Brisker Rav. He moved in all circles. And he had tremendous Moridika Bekiyas. He really was a Bucky in everything, in Shailas Hachuvas. In fact, for many, many years, he used to write reviews of Svarim for a new religious newspaper. This is way pre Yotzed. He died in the 70s. And like, what can I tell you? I mean, he would review a sefer of Chidushim the way somebody might review a novel. I mean, like he would go through like, you know, 700-page sefer, and he would have words. He says, oh, this, he missed the Gra and the Yerushalmi here, and he said, his Peshat and the Tosefta is Fakert from, you know, like, he would just like these comments on Svarim. And the like, and they put it together. There are three volumes of his book reviews, Svarim reviews. It's called Svarim B'Seifrim. He reviews the Chazon Yecheska. I mean, he reviewed like mamish, volumes and volumes of things. Like he could just go through because his Bekias was so mavil, he could go through a sefer right away. In fact, it's very interesting. He reviewed a sefer that Rav Gorin wrote when Rav Gorin was a young, maybe he was even a bach, I'm not sure, maybe a young avrech, on the Yerushalmi. Rav Gorin wrote a Peirush on the Yerushalmi Brachas.
Rav Gorin was such a big
Talmud Chacham. Rav Gorin was a big Talmud Chacham. He was an Eli, one of the Chevrona Eli with Rav Schwartz when he was in that Chabur.
Really?
Oh, yeah. But Rav Gorin said, Rav Zevin said, this is back in like 1940s or, you know, really a long time ago. He said, Rav Goronsky, he used to be called Goronsky in those days, so Goronsky is a big, big Eli. He says, but he doesn't have covered for Gedalei Achreinim because he was mezalzel a little bit in the Gra even and other things. So it's mamish.
Have a shiur on that on his psak with Mamzer and like the counter.
Yeah. Well, that caused Rabbi Yashiv to leave the Rabbanut. He wouldn't work under Rabbi Gorin. Yeah. Okay, but so he writes. So be it as it may. So in one of Rav Gorin's book reviews. Rav Zevin. One of Rav Zevin's book reviews, he reviews the Rav Shulchan Aruch, Shulchan Aruch HaRav. He writes a book review on the Shulchan Aruch HaRav. And he compares the Shulchan Aruch HaRav, which is actually a very, very chashuv, this is Birmingham said a lot, but it's also a very, very good savor to be Masber Halacha. He's Masber Halacha very, very well. It's a very sadistic. But he shows the chiluk between Rav Shneur Zalman, the Shulchan Aruch HaRav, and the Shulchan Aruch. That is, in the Shulchan Aruch will normally tell you, do something l'chatchila, and then say, b'di'evet, you can do this, or you're yaitzei this. He says, in the Rav Shulchan Aruch, he always says the other way around. He says, You can do the mitzvah this way, but l'chadchila you should be mahadir. So what's the significance? Because he says the Shulchan Aruch's goal was to give you l'maisa. What do you do? So when you're asking what do? You certainly do l'chadchila before you do b'di'evit. I mean, that's what l'chadchila means. But the Rav Shulchan Aruch is there to give you the sheirish of the halacha. The emes is the sheirish of the halacha is bedavka in the b'di'evit. The b'di'evit is what you need to do to be mekayim the mitzvah, then l'chadchila is the getter of a heater. So he says, so it all depends what you're trying to teach. If your goal is to teach people practical behavior without going into the lumdus and the theory, you'll be madgish the l'chadchila. He says, if your goal is to understand the sheirish and the aside of a mitzvah, you'll bedavka start with the b'di'evit, because the b'di'evit is the aside. Now the Rama says, Ka'enda by Hefsid Merubah. Hefsid Merubah is not a kula. Rather, it works the other way around. It's really a chumrah. May eager hadin something is mutter, but shaloi b'makam hefsid, it's not going to be mahadir. So it turns out that fundamentally, therefore, you do have a machlekes where the mechaber seems to paskin midina, nitzuk is a chibur by stam yenam, and the Rama seems to paskin midina, nitzuk is not a chibur by stam yenam, but shaloi b'makam hefsid merubah, one should be machmir. Now, what is a hefsid merubah? So for shteitzach, that is lefi ra'ais hadayan. It is not a davar katsav, obviously, depends how rich you are, and hefsid merubah does not mean bankruptcy. I mean, I think I used to mention Rav Scheinberg, that's all I used to mention, for a ben Torah it might be $10 or whatever it is. That's called already a hefsid merubah. So it depends if the guy poured champagne or cheap wine or whatever it would be, that would be nogeh. Now, here's the thing. There is a stira, though, in the Shulchan Aruch, and Memele in the Rama as well, because at the end of Hilchos Yayin Nesach, towards the end, Kuf Chaf Hei, which is the last simen, there's a din like this. This is a different type of Nitzuk problem, but it's also a Nitzuk problem. You know, Yayin Nesach, and Stam Yayin, when I say Yayin Nesach, I'm including Stam Yayinim, Slav Dafka, you know, Yayin of Avodah Zarah. Stam Yayinim has certain chumras in that a kli that you're machnis lakiyim. A kli shemachnis lakiyim means a kli, like a barrel, in which wine is stored for long periods of time. So there's a chumra that kalim that you were machnis, that you or your distillery was machnis stam yenam lakiyim, l'zman meruba. So if I put water or liquid in them, even though it's tzonein and it's not kavush, meaning normally, I mean normally, if you have a treif kli, right? If you have a treif kli, if you have a kli that's chazer, whatever it is, and I'm machnis cold liquid or cold food into a kli, a treif kli, if there's no bishel, if there's no cooking, and I don't leave it there for a shear of kavush, which is either yud beis shoyz or chavtala shoyz, there's no belia, right? That's one of the fundamental rules of iser v'heter, is that there is no transference of a treif that is bolua in a kli unless you either have heat or you have kavisha. Right, everybody knows that. But with yayin in nesach, there is a chumra that if it's a kli that's machnas lakiyim, meaning the stam yayinim was kept there for a long time, so it's kind of the walls of the kli are considered to be full of wine, then even b'tzonein, any liquid I put in, even l'zman mu'at, I'm choshesh for a taruvas of stam yein. Right? That's what it's brought down. That's a chumra called kli shemachnisai l'kiyim, and that's a unique principle, that's a unique rule, only by stam yeinim. Yayin nesach is stam yeinim. So the case of the Shulchan Aruch is like this. Do you apply nitzuk in this way? I'm a Yisrael, the guy is not pouring, I'm a Yisrael, and I'm pouring wine, so to speak, or even any liquid, into a kli shemachnisa lakiyam that has stam yenam in it. Do I say that it's ki'ilu, the stuff in the bottle is nischaber to that, and therefore it's considered to be a taruvas al pidin? In other words, that's a different type of nitzuk. It's not a nitzuk of kocho, but it's simply a nitzuk of by pouring something into a kli shemachnis olakim. So here, both the Shulchan Aruch and the Ramah say nitzuk is vadai, not a chibur at all, and it's a dover pashut that only the wine that goes into the kli shemachnis olakim becomes nesar as stam yenam, and the wine in the bottle that you poured does not become nesar.
So there's wine in the barrel?
Yeah, well, there doesn't have to be wine in the barrel, but the wine, has been stored. The wine had been stored there. In other words, even if it's empty.
And now what are you doing? Now you're pouring from the barrel.
No. In other words, I had a barrel in which Stam Yenam had been stored. I am now pouring kosher wine into that barrel. Now, the kosher wine in that barrel is now Nesar. That's the din of Kalisha Machnis Olakiyim, even though it's Sonen. But the right, so the kosher wine that the Yid poured into that barrel is Nesar, that's for sure. But the Mechaber and the Ramah both say that the kosher wine in the bottle that didn't go into that barrel does remain okay, even though there's a Nitzuk being Mechaberit. So it's not the Goy pouring, it's a Yid pouring into a barrel that had Stam Yenam. So the Shach asked the Kasha that L'chayra there's a Stira, since the Mechaber holds that Nitzuk is a Chibur, then Nitzuk should be a Chibur for this as well. And even like the Ramah, even though the Ramah holds Nitzuk is not a Chibur, but since the Ramah is Machmir, Shalai B'makam Hefsid Meruba, why isn't the Ramah Machmir there? There L'chadchila, we simply say that whatever in the bottle is okay. So the Shach says an important yisait. The Shach gives an important yisait. The Shach says, although the Chutz is Shver, it's a Shver Shach actually, but the Shach says that since Nitzuk Chibur is a Shaila in the Gemara itself, right, how you paskin a different mandiyomrim, so he says, we're only Machmir on Nitzuk where the yayin is usher bahana, and we're not machmir in nitzuk where the yayin is not. In other words, sometimes stam yayinam, I'll discuss when, is usher bahana, and sometimes it's only usher bishtia, and it's not usher bahana. And that's a complicated mitzvah. When is it usher bahana? So the Shach says it's a davar pashut that the chumra d'rabbanan of kli shemachnis elakim, when there's no yayin nesach bien, it's only belia, the chachamim were machmer only on shesia, they were not machmer on hana. So the Shach says it's habo hatalia, since even the wine that goes into the barrel is only asur b'shesia, it's not asur b'hana. So when the wine is only usher bishasiya, and it's not usher bahana, then the nitzuk of that wine to other wine, the nitzuk is not going to be a chibur. This is what the Shach says. The Shach says that since it is true, the Shulchan Aruch himself says that when you're machnis yayin into a kli shemachnis elakim, but there's no wine bien, which means the Shach is mechalik. Let's take a simpler case. Let's say I'm pouring kosher wine into a barrel that actually has Stam Yenam Ben. Or, an example I gave you 2 weeks ago, I'm a Jewish waiter refilling the Goy's cup. So where it is a Be'en, that's where the Nisuk is connected to a Be'en of Stam Yenam, there the Shach says, the Mechaber would say Nitzuk is a Chibur, and the Ramah would be Machmir, Shaloi B'Makayim Hefsid Meruba.
About the first time you're pouring it
from the
guy.
Ah, so what's going to be us? The first.
He's holding the cup.
Yeah, but that's not. Yeah, okay, but remember, holding the cup doesn't asher the wine.
That doesn't happen.
No, because to asher the wine, you either need Negiah of the wine or pouring the wine. A guy pouring the wine. So the first time I pour for a guy, I'm talking about a goy bedavka. I'll get to Michal Shabbos because you'll see there'll be a little subtlety here. But let's take a goy just to keep that simple and factor out tinuk shenishba. The first time I pour for a goy into his empty glass, there absolutely is no problem. The bottle for sure is fine. But if he still has some wine that he drank from, so it touched his lips, and it's in the cup, and then I, as a yid, fill it up, so the Shach says, in a case like that, the Mechaber will say, Nitzuk is a chibur, and the Ramah will also say, that Shaloi b'makam hefsid merubah, you have to be machmer. But the Shach says, where I'm pouring kosher wine, not into Stam Yeinam, but simply into a kli shemachnisay lakiyam, where the Chachamim said there's a chashash of belia. But sonay, since that wine is mutter baha na'a, it's only usher bishtia, so in a case where it's mutter baha na'a and it's not usher bishtia, hakol moedim, that nitzuk is not a chibur, right? This is the aside of the shach. Now, the problem is the following. The problem is that it's not at all clear what the shach is trying to answer, because the shach is trying to answer a stira between the din of kli shemachnisa l'kiyam and the din of a goy pouring wine, right? Where the mechaber says nitzuk is a chibur. Now, here's the problem. The Shulchan Aruch Paskin's gufa, that kocho, as opposed to negiya, kocho is mutter bahana. I mean, it's the same thing. The Shulchan Aruch Paskin's that if wine becomes nesar only because of kocho, as opposed to maga, it's mutter bahana. So, what's the shach answering? If the shach is trying to say, whenever the wine is mutter bahana, we're mekel on nitzuk, then fakir, the very case where the mechaber is machmer on nitzuk, is mutter bahana. Meaning, wine that a goy pours, as opposed to touching, is mutter bahana. So, the shach is not answering the stira at all. Right, there's a stira. Case one is, a goy pours wine, the mechaber says, we're machmer on what's in the bottle, al snitzuk. Case two, a yid pours kosher wine into a kli shemachnisa lakiyam, the mechaber is mekel. And even in the Ramah there's a stira, because in case one, the Ramah is machmer, shalei behefsid merubah. In case two, he's mekel. Zuk deshach, we're mekel in case two, because even the wine that goes into the kli is only usher bishtia, and it's mutter bahana, so memela the nitzuk is not going to usher. So the pela on the shach is, case one is the same thing. Because kocho, meaning the actual wine that he poured is only usher bishtia, mutter bahana. So what's the shach answer? So there is in the Shulchan Aruch, there is a perish to Ferris Adam. Teres Adam is in, that's on the side. You know, he says the shach is really a pella. The shach is so he wants to say the following. He wants to say that all of these things are machlokesim, meaning to say, kocho is a machlokes rishenim. Is it usher bahana? So he wants to say that even though we're mekel to matur hana, because Hatayra Chasa al Mamainam Shel Yisrael, but we're going to be machmir to don it that it's Aser Bahana to Aser Anitzik. In other words, the getter is like this: something can Lamaisa be Mutter Bahana, but since there are machmirim that it is Aser Bahana, so that's enough to trigger the Chumra that the Nitzik will be Aser Bishtiyah. Ma she'ein kein by kli she'ein machnisa l'kiyam me'ikir hadin it's mutter bahana, and if me'ikir hadin it's mutter bahana, so the nitzik is going to be mutter. So based on this, here's the following. This is what Rav Avadya Yosef wants to say. Rav Avadya Yosef, who's derech in psak anyway, we know is extraordinarily mekel, He wants to taina like this. He wants to taina that if the reason why, based on the Shach, the reason why the Mechaber asers Nitzuk by Kocham, and even the Ramah is Machmer Shalev Amach Metzid Meruba, is only because of the Shitas that say Kocham is Aser Bahana, even though we don't pass him like that, but the reason for the Chumra of Nitzuk is because of the Shitas that say that Kaychay is Aser Bahana, he wants to say that it's a Dover Pashat, that the Maga of a Mechalel Shabbos, as opposed to a guy, even the Maga of a Mechalel Shabbos, is only Aser Bishtia, not Bahana, and he brings many, many Shitas that way. So Mimela, the Chumra of Nitzuk by the Kaychay of a guy would not apply to the Chumra of Nitzuk for the Kocho of a Mechalel Shabbos. Because going with the Shach, that the Nitzuk is a Chibur, like the Ramah Meikir Adin, like the Mechaber Meikir Adin, and like the Ramah Shloim Bamakir Asim Beruba, is only if there's a Tzad that the Yayin would be Aser Bahana. And the Mechalel Shabbos is not Aser Bahana, it's only Aser Bishtia. Memela, he wants to taina that for sure, a Mechalel Shabbos, what's in the bottle, would remain much. Now, L'chayr Elani, it seems to me that the logic of his Pesach should apply not only by Kocha, but it should even apply to refilling. Because and there's, if I'm a Yid refilling, and I'm pouring it into his wine, if his wine is Mutter Bahana, in other words, it's not only a Chumrah when the guy pours, when the Mechalel Shabbos pours about the wine in the bottle. It's not only a Kula, rather. It would even be a Kula if I pour kosher wine into his wine.
And who poured the wine that he has?
Who poured the wine that he has?
Yeah.
It could be a Yid poured. It made no difference.
Well, the Mechalel Shabbos poured the wine that he has in his cup, and that wine is for sure Aser.
That wine is for sure is Aser.
Even Bahana.
No, not Bahana. That's what he's saying. Right. Yeah, that's what he's saying. In other words, the Chumrah of a Mechalel Shabbos doesn't Aser Bahana. Right? Yeah, okay. So that's his leniency. But the emes is, I don't understand the whole business, because the emes is, the Ramah himself brings that Bizman Hazeh, all Stam Yenam is Mutra Bahana, because the Goyim are not Ragil to be Ovde Avodah Zarah Mamish. So if you go with that, and still the Ramah says we're Machmer by Nitzuk, then I don't understand the whole Shach Bichlal. Because it's not just Kaychay, it's Mamish Maga. Alright, I don't want to get too involved in it, but L'Chavapachas, there is a Psat that a Mechalel Shabbos does not asher the Yayin benitzuk, even like the Mechaber, and we're Mechalek between a Goy and a Mechalel Shabbos. Now,
sir,
yeah.
A simple question. When the Ramah says that Bizman is that song, but he's talking about Bahana,
not Shtia.
Bahana, so yeah. Even when he poured it.
Even when he pours it, even when he touches it, because since, you see again, let me remind you, there are two different reasons why Stam Yayinam is Aser. One is a Gezerah, because of the Goyim that actually pour for idolatry, Avodah Zarah. And the other is that we don't want to drink wine that they touch, because that's conducive to chasanus and social interaction. Now, if it's a Gezerah of Avodah Zarah Mamish, that would be Aser Bahana. If it's only chasanus, it would be Mutter Bahana, just don't drink it. So the Ramah brings that although Medina de Gemara, Stam Yainam is Aser Bahana, at least if it's poor, if it's touched. But Bizman Hazeh, since Goyim are not regilim in that of Avodah Zarah, so according to that, I mean, I think the whole Shach Teret is a Tzarechiyah.
So the reason why Mechalel Shabbos is
Aser? So that's what they taina. So that that's the Svaras. A Mechalel Shabbos could only be Aser al Chasanus. You know, we don't want to be, or a Knas even, a Knas. But we're not Cheshish, he's an Eved Avodah Zarah. So that's why it's Mutter Bahana.
Right.
But all I'm saying is, the Ramah applies it even to Goyim. Right, so that's going to be a bit of a problem. Okay.
There's also the Yimach HaZlikim, that's the problem with Sherikas and everything?
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yes. Well, actually, you don't even need that. The problem with Sherikas is that it's there as Sher Kavisha and much longer.
Uh-huh.
The Chiddush of Machnis Lukiyim is, even if the liquid is there for a short time, with Sherikasks, it could be there for years, right? So you certainly have Kavisha. But it would also be Machnis HaLakim, that's MS as well. And those that matter, the single malt scotch is based on a bitl b'shishim, and that's the whole question of milsa David al taima. In other words, obviously the sherry is a tiny little, right, avada, it's there are more than shishim connected to sherry. On the other hand, since the whole purpose is that it should give a taste, that's why you're doing it, so it's a milsa David al taima.
No problem, not milsa b'chil, because it's goyim?
Yeah, because it's goyim. By the way, you know, I don't know if it's Rav Schiller's Chiddush or whatever, he pointed out, like, you know, how did Scotch get the Zechus to be served at all Simchas? And, you know, it's like some Zechus in Shemayim. So he said, I don't know if this is true, and he said Scotland was the only country in the world that never had any anti-Semitic gezeiros against Jews. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu rewards Scotland that... Scotch is like everywhere, you know. Every Yiddish is simcha, you have scotch and the like. I don't know if that's the truth. I mean, what about China? I mean, I can think of other countries. I think there were no. Maybe there were no Jews.
So you can drink tea as well.
Tea, okay, all right. That's very good. Okay, very good. Very good. Okay. No, but scotch, you know. Tea, they bedavka say, it's not chamar, coffee and tea are not chamar medina, even though, but you know, scotch could be chamar medina, you know. So, still has a bigger chashivas. Okay, now let me just mention another side point, which it shouldn't be. So again though, if you don't have a Ravadja's Psak, keep in mind the potential nitzik problems are very big problems. The goy pours, he asters the bottle. I pour into the goy's cup, I might aster the bottle. Right, all sorts of nekudas like this. Now again, just to review. There are really three different kulas lagabe mechalal Shabbos mizman hazeh. There are three different mahalchim to be makel about a mechalal Shabbos, and two of them are based on the binyan sion, and one is a little later. Mahalach number one is tinok shenishba, that a tinok shenishba, a person who was never exposed, memela is not called an achroi, he's not called a kaifer b'maisa bereishis, simply because of his lack of background. Now, that's not going to happen. That's not going to work in every case. Not every case of a non-religious Jew is a tinok shenishba. Sometimes you have people who went off the derech, right? People who were from, people who knew, etc., and the like. Now, the second nekuda is a little different. It's a different nekuda. It's not focusing on tinok shenishba, but it's focusing on the fact that even if somebody is a mechal Shabbos, if he goes to shul, and if he davens, and if he wants to be mishtatef in Jewish religious ceremonies, we don't don him as a kaifer b'maisa bereisha. So it's not the pa'ula of Chilul Shabbos that gives him the din of a goy. It's the fact that the Chilul Shabbos indicates that he's a kaifer in the bayre. And memela, if you have a guy who, let's say, you know, believes in God, but because he goes to work, etc., so he's a Mechal Shabbos, it wouldn't have a din kaifer. Now that would be shayach, theoretically, even for somebody who was from and then went off the derech, but if he's not doing it b'derech merida, and he still has emuna. In fact, you know, in the United States, when they have the early origin of Eretz Yisrael, it's a different history, but in the United States, what is the origin of early minyanim? Right? You go to a shul, right? So the yeshivish people, you know, Rabbanim don't like this. I didn't like it, but the yeshivish people, the Bnei Torah, they go to an early minyan, so they don't have to hear the Rav's drasha, right? So they sit and learn and whatever. These are the tzaddikim. So you have to. You see, I'm still bitter about it, but anyway. But you see, not really, but you see that, you know what the historical origin of Hashkama minyanim were. You think it's the tzaddikim, the Bnei Torah? No. We had a lot of balabatim. They had to go to work. They had to be at work at 9 o'clock in the morning, but they wanted a chaperayin, a good Shabbos davening, and a kiddush with some herring. So they would daven at 6:30 or 7 o'clock in the morning, so they could go to work. Now, the truth of the matter is, you know, al tatnis chavercha ad shetakiyah l'mkayma. You know, the emes is we have no hasaga how difficult it was to be shomer Shabbos in the 1920s. The 1930s, a few people were Meister Nefesh. They mamish were Meister Nefesh, but every week they'd have to look for a new job. They didn't come in on Saturday. So Sunday they didn't work, but Monday they'd have to find a new job. So if somebody is not Aimei B'Nisayan, I'm not going to, you know, stand up and look down upon them. I mean, it was very, very difficult. We don't know what we would do. Hopefully we would be Aimei B'Nisayan, but how do you know? But that is the origin. So the Binyan Siyam says, Asasvara, that when a person be emes in his amayman, Elamai, it's Yitzray Taikvai, that's not Nichlal in the din, that he has a din of a guy. That's the second Svara. Now the third Svara... This is the Binyan Siyam. Oh, the Binyan Siyam is the Aruch Lanier. He was Rav Shimshon Ufal Hirsch's Rebbe. And he wrote at the very beginning of the Reform movement, and this was a the two svaras that he said.
He's accepted.
Well, not by everybody. Most American Paiskim accept it in Eretz Israel. They're very much.
Say again. Allow kashrus organization to give a
hashir
and a place for people to be with Chal Shabbos.
No. Let me put it this way. As a practical matter. All kashrus organizations require yayin mavushel in their faculties, simply because they'll tend to be goyim around as well. So they don't necessarily say we're not semich in the binyan siyam, but you have to be kashrus for goyim.
So.
Well,
in the factory, in the factory where they're producing the wine. So they all require their Shabbos. Yes, they do.
Well, because obviously, just for economic reasons. I mean, you want to have wine that everybody could drink.
But
all I'm
saying. Everyone could drink because not everyone uses the term.
They don't use the on the factory level. They don't use the Zeterim. But what I'm saying is, in yeshivas they do. In Or Sameach they do. We don't like to do it, but sometimes the mentors bring in. Not mavushel, and we are so much. Now remember, the truth is, I mentioned last time that according to Rabbi Yashiv, even if you have what's called mavushel, it's not mavushel. Right? Rabbi Yashiv says to be mavushel, you have to like, cook it on the stove till it doesn't taste good. Rabbi Yashiv says pasteurization is not mavushel. Okay, so we're soymech on both kulos. We're soymech on Rav Meisha's definition of mavushel, and b'diavad we're soymech on the binyan. And the Binyan Siyam. Now, there's a third svar which is a little different than the first two. The first svar is Tinuk Shenishba. The second svar is that even a Mechal Shabbos L'Teyavayin is not a Kaifer per se. And then there's a third svar which is actually a Baal Tshuva svar, and that is that if somebody is on the way back, it's Ka'ain the second svar. He's on the way back. He's coming here. He wants to learn. He wants to grow. He wants to do more. But he's not yet doing the whole thing. So the very fact, again, it's Cain the second svar, the very fact he's on the way back already takes him out of the derech of Kaifer, because he's already been machlit that he's moving in a certain direction. Now, with all of this, there are still going to be cases where none of these three, I gave you three svaras. There are going to be cases where none of these three svaras apply. Where Lamashal, you have your uncle from who used to be, you know, he has smicha from YU, whatever it is, and he decided to become a kaifer and not be kairis, but he likes to show up for family simchas, so it's not a tinuk shenishba, and he might be a kaifer mamish, and he's not in the process of right. So there are going to be cases where lamaisa, the wine is going to be l'chalapachas aser b'shtiyah, not b'hana, etc. So you got to be careful. So even with this yeterim, it doesn't cover 100% of the situations. But at least a lot of the situations we face in a yeshiva like here, again, the chatchila, we try to do mavushel anyway, there are going to be bases for. And then, of course, you have a rovadja, etc., that at least there's no din of nitzuk, right? Ravadja says that even if it's a bona fide kaifer, b'chal shabbos prahesia, so at least if I pour the wine, the rest of the bottle is not going to become usher and the like. Okay.
What category does the fries really fall into?
So this is going to be a big problem. That's gufa e machlekes, meaning there are some poskim. First of all, as they say, a lot of poskim don't even like the Binyan Siyam at all, but there are some poskim that even like the Binyan Siyam in Israeli certainly knows, if nothing else, the Hafkanot, in Israeli certainly knows about Shabbos and the like.
Shabbos is a backwards.
No, no, I agree with you actually. But and they say, you know, Tinuk Shishma means somebody who never heard of it. Every Israeli heard of it, so they can't have a din of Tinuk Shishma. But Lamaisa, again, Lamia Staiti, I think that's not emes, because even if you've heard about it, if you think it's primitive, you think it's stupid, you think it's old fashioned, and you never had a chinuch that's margul you to the chashivas or inyan. See, a tinuch shnishma is not only somebody who never heard of it, but somebody who's not, who never was exposed that it's a dover chashuv and something significant. So I think you could still be simech. Many Israelis are, maybe not all, depends, but many Israelis are tinuch shnishma. In fact, Rav Yaakov Kamenetsky even says, even if a kid had chinuch at a young age, let's say at a young age, and he left it, it's not clear what age that is exactly, he could still be a tinuk shenishba because he was not yet mature enough to absorb the chashivas of the inyan. And you'd be surprised at actually how ignorant Israelis are. You know, you figure, you know, they know Hebrew, right? I mean, a lot of the problems we have is kids say, we don't know Hebrew. No, here you have people who know Hebrew. But you know, there are Israelis who have not heard of the pasuk Shema Yisrael. It's hard for me to believe that. But they say they, you know, they did surveys, you know, they never heard the word Shema Yisrael, Hashem Elokeinu.
Just someone got sponsored, put on a lot of the buses. Shema Yisrael.
Maybe that's why they put it, yeah. But it's very, very amazing. And the truth of the matter is that, what do they say? That was the nafkamina between the Dairus HaRishayim, you know, the founding fathers and mothers of Zionism. You know, they grew up in Europe, they grew up in frum communities. And they were Pyregol to some degree. Right, they were Pyrrhical, so we could talk about them as Apikorsim and, you know, and the like. He says, but the later generation, you know, what Apikorsim, they're just Amoratsim. You know, they tell a Maisa of a fellow in Minsk who wanted to be an Apikoris. It's a famous story. So he was told that if you want to be an Apikoris, you got to go to Yassel. Yassel is the town Apikoris. So he's looking for Yassel, so he goes to the nightclubs, and he goes to the bars, and he goes to the hotels, and he's looking for Yassel. Where would an Apikoris hang around, you know? So finally, he says, well, Yassel is in the Beis Medrash. So he goes to a Beis Medrash, and he sees a fellow with a long white beard. He's sitting over a Gemara, and he's like steiging over the Gemara. He says, this is the Apikoris, he says. So he goes to Yassel, he says, you know, I hear you're the Apikoris of the Shtag. He says, yeah, I am. So he says, well, I want to be like you. I want to be connected to you. So Yassel says, have you finished Bavli? He says, no, I don't believe in this stuff. He says, have you learned Shulchan Aruch? He says, no. He says, you're no Apikoris, you're just ignorant. You know, he says, to be an Apikoris, you got to be, you got to know. So the truth is, I think that secular Israelis are largely, are indeed, you know, Shinesh, but it's Pashat.
No, I
understand.
You see, like, some good examples of, you know, people, they consider good people.
Yeah.
And they're not trying to be Mavar, maybe there's something there.
That would be, again, that would be part of the question. But again, the question becomes, you know, again, in Shemayim, is Hashem going to mun people? That, you know, maybe yes, maybe not. It's hard for us to know. But Al Pidin, to say that a person is a Moreid, Malchus Shemayim, because he wasn't Darius V'Cheker, if his environment overwhelmingly says it's not an important thing. Now, you could say, given the fact that in Eretz Israel itself, among Israelis, there has been moves to tshuva. You have the famous, has already been many years, Uri Zohar, right? Uri Zohar was the most famous comedian in Israel. He was like, you know, Bob Hope or Johnny Carson, a real famous, famous guy. And he lived a totally secular, decadent lifestyle. And he became Bentar, he became a Baal tshuva. And that was absolutely shocking. That was shocking. That's, you know, people couldn't believe it. So it's a good horror. In other words, when you have like famous chilonim going to Yiddishkeit, can that affect the tinuk shenishba aspect? In which, at that point, the chiloni should be asking himself, you know, why aren't you looking into this? So it's a good horror. I think those who are mekel are still mekel, but there is a makom, as it were, to be machmer on those in yonim. But okay. By the way, the same issue, there's a parallel issue. It's not the same exactly. About brachos, aliyos, all of these in yonim. For example, are you mitztaref a mechalel Shabbos to a minyan? Right? Can you give them an aliyah? all of these different inyanim. And we basically apply the same three svaras, either Tinok Shenishba, or the Pshat is he's not a Kaifer, or if he's on the way back, so to speak. So the same three svaras that we apply by Stam Yenam, we also apply. Now, the one thing is true, therefore, this is an important halacha to know, that if somebody is a real Kaifer, you are not allowed, number one, you're not mitzvahed from Laminyan, and number two, he's not allowed to say a bracha. Not allowed to say a bracha. I mean, you're not allowed to. So if Uncle John shows up at his niece's wedding and he wants a bracha, not because he believes in the Eibishter, but he wants a bracha because he wants to participate in a family simcha, you know, you're not allowed to give him a bracha, and you don't even say amen to his bracha. So there is a category of people, even Bizman Azeh, that can be bona fide kaifer.
Or doesn't.
You know, I wouldn't say that, but you know, I mean, open Orthodox, there's a lot of things that are wrong. Maybe it depends. I don't think you can talk about it as a movement. I mean, I think there may be yechidim.
Some people
that might fall within that, but I wouldn't say just because you go to YCT or you're. In fact, it's interesting. One of our talmidim, many years ago, actually has his smicha from YCT. And it's really such a shame because he's a wonderful person. He's a chaplain of a major, major hospital. And he's written things on medical ethics, straight halacha, you know, very good halacha. He's just he's very, very good. Like any yeshiva would be happy to have him. Happens to be his smicha is from there, you know. So what's going to be? I mean, he's 100% good. No, they're not Mechal Shabbos. That's correct. The problem is that there may be Kleifer and Torah Shabbal Pes. So that's Slifkin
Field. I'm really curious, asking honestly. I'm not trying to.
Okay, well, maybe I should shut up my recorder. Listen, Slifkin is fine. There's nothing wrong with Slifkin. The only thing that's wrong with Slifkin is that, unfortunately, because he was humiliated and Mabuzah, so he responded not Lefi Kavod HaTorah, and that's unfortunate. You know, a person's to try to be Saiva Lo Bainus, but the truth of the matter is they provoked him until he said things that are not nice. And you know, he should ask Mechila. But there's no kafira, there's no apikorsis. There is nothing wrong. There is nothing wrong with anything he wrote. Yep.
I'm trying to sense. Yeah. I have a friend who's like a rebellious kid in Ramat Yeshiva. Yeah. He's friends with Slifkin. He's actually the tour guide in his museum now.
Yes.
And he brought me the book, which is his guide to the tour guides.
Yes.
The museum. I like, since I read the book, I've been telling everyone he's an apikorsis.
Really? Yes. What did you see? What did you see in the book?
I can give you the book, but
which book is it?
It's his guide for how he describes it's a biblical zoo that he has.
Yes.
So it's his guide for how he for how he defines what the Torah is.
Right.
So he basically the entire theme of the book is to look for sources to say that everything in the Torah is not true. So he starts off. He says, okay, if the Torah says animal. Is an animal, if the Torah describes characteristics about an animal, so it doesn't have to, and he's trying to identify the animal, and he's looking for characteristics, you know, to see if they match the Torah. So the Torah characteristics have to be true.
Right.
So he quotes in Rambam from Meir Nebuchim, it says that the Torah can be talking to Lashon B'nei Adam,
yep.
So that it's just sometimes it's not true, and it'll be based upon. So basically, if he finds an ancient myth which describes characteristics in an animal, then I'll automatically assume that the Torah follows the ancient myth, or whatever falsehood that exists in the ancient myth, the Torah says. That's what he starts off with, the Torah. Then he gets Chazal. He says that he has a Rabbeinu some Eichshitz, who says, Pshat Rashi, Shema, the Chazal don't know any science. So he says, Chazal's not true. Then he says, Rishayim. He says, well, them, he doesn't even care about it at all, because Rishayim don't know anything about the
Hebrew. Okay, I have not, you know, I don't follow every book he writes. But let me put it this way. If indeed he crossed the line, it's because we violated the rule of Yamin Mekarevus Usmol Dochem, meaning to say, maybe he was pushed over, maybe now something, you know, he became. but for what he was punished for was not. Oh, I can tell
originally
you.
Originally,
the original books are not a problem. In fact, he had haskamas. He had haskamas from Shmuel Kamenetsky. Ravaran Lapiansky was a very chashuva person. Yeah. So he had haskamas.
One other thing that he has. This I'm not sure if he writes for himself, but a Sony Shiva and a lot of things show me from his website.
Yeah.
He's all into like the anti-Kabbalah things, but the Arizal is an epicurus. Basically he believes like the Zera is epicurus, everything is every single Gadol or Kabbalah calls epicurus in things.
Well, okay. Listen. I understand. He was viciously attacked, and unfortunately, maybe he's responding viciously. And ain adam mitzvah salsaro. Sometimes a person is not an achroi. You know, he used to be nasa, now he's not tanya. Basically, he wants to distance himself. But the thing is, Rav Chaim Sholevitz used to say, Rav Chaim Sholevitz never kicked anybody out of Mir. He had a thing about not kicking people out because he said rejection produces amalek. What's the pshat? Because state that Timna was from Egypt, Hagar's mishpacha, royalty. She wanted to be mizdabek so much in Zera Avram, and she was pushed away. She wasn't good enough, so she said, "If I can't be mizdabek in the kedusha, I'll be mizdabek in the tumah from Avram, which is Esav." She married Eliphaz. From that shidduch came Amalek. Zot Rav Chaim Shmulevitz, when you reject people, you get Amaleks. Wow. That's what he said. This is what he said.
So what do you do when you have reform? What's the attitude?
Well, you have to know. Rav Shmuel Salanter said that had he been in the door of the Chassam Sofer, now the Chassam Sofer Shita was absolute Richuk. That was the Chassam Sofer. Rav Shmuel Salanter said, I can't be Machriya, but he said, had I been as one of the Chassam Sofer, I would have gone into their temples. I would have given Shiurim there. I would have tried to be Makar of them. Okay, you have to know. I mean, obviously, you can't. You know, no one's telling you go march for the gay pride march. You know, to show that you know everybody is good. You know, obviously, you have to have gevulim, but you have to do it in a way that's not mavazeh person personally, especially if they are tinuk shenishman. Even the rabbis, in other words, it used to be the first generation of reform rabbis were Orthodox rabbis who left. But now, the truth is, even a reform rabbi, you know, people say, oh, the leaders are the Rishayim and the followers. The truth is, the leaders are just, what are the leaders? What yeshiva education do they have? They had nothing. I mean, they graduated college, they weren't religious at all, and then they go for 2 years to, you know, I mean, they know as much, a reform rabbi has learned less Gemara than a seventh grader. You know, and that's if he's good, you know he's an average seventh grader has learned more blot than a reformed rabbi of Gemara, you know, and at least an Eretz Yisrael. So the truth is, Tinuk Shenishma applies to the rabbis too. It's not like Aaron Chariner, who was the great reform enemy of the Chassam Sofer. So he had learned. He had smicha from Gedolim himself. So that's a totally different story. That's not the reformed rabbi today. You know. So you have to know. I mean, the emes is that, and that's why I think acharei hapargut in America, many, many Orthodox rabbis are willing. They won't go to a service, but they will give classes everywhere, anywhere, because that way they have an influence. They have, I'll end with one little maisa. I think I may have said it before. Many of you might have heard of Ephraim Buchwald. Ephraim Buchwald is somebody involved in, he's more on the modern side, but he's done a lot of good kiruv. Over many, many years, the National Jewish Outreach Program, he works out of Lincoln Square. So he once told me a maisa years ago, I love this maisa. He told me a maisa that he was asked to give a series of lectures in a Reform synagogue, but only him, not a panel, not where, the other people are speaking. So he calls Rav Moshe Scherer, the head of Aguda, and he says, I want to do this, but I know Aguda always has achrazas, so I want to be sure this is going to be okay, and there's not going to be trouble. I don't want bad publicity. I don't want to antagonize Rosh Yeshiva. So Moshe Scherer said, "Gevaldik, good thing you have to go where people are because they're not going to come to you. You go to them, and therefore they're going to listen. Good hashpa." So he does it with Rav Scherer's bracha. So the next issue of the Jewish Observer, which is the Aguda, magazine, says, "We are very disturbed that some well-meaning people in Jewish outreach are going to reform synagogues and they're being mechaber, this is not the Derech HaTorah. You have to be merachek. They have to come to you. You don't go to them. When you go to them, you're giving a hechsher." So he calls up Moshe Sher, because every word, Moshe Sher was not the editor, was Nissen Wolfen was the editor, but every word in Jewish Observer, Moshe Sher approved. Every word was what he said. So he calls Moshe Sher and he says, "What's going on? I called you last week and you said it was fine and a good thing. And then are you not being the Jewish Observer?" So Moshe Sher says, "That's exactly the pshat. Your job is to do these things and our job is to taina on you." He says, "That's fine." In other words, the taina is that we have to taina because otherwise, slippery slope, meaning today you give a shiur, next time you'll have a joint service and the rabbi, reform rabbi, will teach one class, etc. So we have to be meicha. But just because we're meicha doesn't mean b'etzem it's not a good thing. It's a very interesting thing, and the truth of the matter is, this is kind of the aside of the Pashkevilin as well. Sometimes when the Pashkevilin are screaming and yelling, they're not really saying the etzem dabur is bad, but they need to make a harchata so you don't go too far. That's really the inner understanding of how those things work. Okay?